And as we mentioned every session, our anchor verse is found in Psalm 105. We're talking about Joseph. It says, God called for a famine upon the whole land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that God's word came to pass. The word of the Lord purified Joseph. So we know Joseph was sent to prepare for those who would be coming into the land, his father and his father's family, Jacob. And he had a whole bunch of provision for them during the time of famine that God sent upon the land. And we believe that God has helped us in these times when he's shaking the earth. He's placing people strategically with little stores of this and that that can be used strategically for times when these things hit. So let me go over these handouts real quick just to let you know what we have. We're actually going to go into action planning tonight. We're going to walk through and actually start doing some of this ciphering and getting ourselves motivated to go actualize our plan. So that's the first handout there. First part of the handout is we're going to go through that. Flip over a couple of pages, and you'll see where it says food storage basics for 1 year. This is like a little calculator that we're going to use to help us decide how much food we need to store for our individual needs in our own home. Flip over a couple more pages, actually the next page, and this is what we call a progress chart that will help us in the blink of an eye to see where we stand on our plan, how far we've gotten with it, how far we need to go, and it's just a little like a thermometer to tell us where we are in our preparation. And then flip over another couple of pages. I've given you some templates that you can use as well, just blanks. You can work beyond that. And then a couple more pages over, there is sources for food storage, and we'll address that in a few minutes. But it's places that you can visit online or even by phone in some cases to actually obtain some of these food supplies that we've been talking about. It's a good, excellent resource there for you to kind of cost compare and things like that as well. And then the final handout we have, which we passed this out before, but it's what David Wilkerson gave out to his church years ago to help them get prepared for what was tough times that he thought might be coming, or even emergency situations. So another little thing that you can use to help you prepare. We'll go through that a little bit as well. So I gave out a homework assignment last week. How many people have actually looked at their homes, their areas, and identified a place where you want to store food? Excellent. And have you actually made a few little steps to clear that space? M80s, bombs, things like that to blow up. Things for yard sales, anyway. That's good. So let's go through our steps. Let's actually start walking through our steps. If you have a pen, you might want to, you know, fill in the blanks, or you can do it later. Here's our steps. Step one, as we walk through this, decide how many people you want to store food for and for how long you want to store it. It may be 5, it may be 10, it may be just you and your wife, you yourself, and then decide how long you want to store it for. Is it for, you just want a source of food for a week, or for a month, 3 months, a year? That's what you have to decide. Ask the Lord to show you for your specific plan there. So, okay, how many people do we want to support? The consideration is there. How many family members do you want to support? How many neighbors you might have neighbors identified that you want to store for, that, and they may not even know it right now, but you know that the Lord's going to use you to help bring them in when the things happen. How many church members, and then others. So you need to kind of cipher up how many people you want to store enough food for. And then you come up with a total there. And then next, we'll just for ease sake, we're going to say how many months of provisions do you ultimately want to have on your shelf? How many months of provision? Now, you may not start with, say you decide 6 months. You may not start with 6 months right now as far as, you know, getting the supplies. You're going to inch your way to that 6 month supply. But how many months do you ultimately want for provision on your shelf? And 10 years is probably too many. You'd have to have a Sam's warehouse. Okay, step two, decide where you will store your provisions, which most people in here have already done that. Again, prepare and configure the space where you will be able to store your provisions. Again, the location should ideally be 70 degrees or below, should have low humidity, and have as little light exposure as possible. That way the food can be preserved for as long as possible. And then examples, garages, stairwells, etc. And so in that section there, you decide where your location is going to be and you fill in the blank. Step three, decide how you will configure your storage space. You might want to put up shelves. You might want to, you know, configure it any way you want to, but you have to visualize how your food storage is going to go in there. And so you have to answer the question, well, I need some supplemental shelving to place in there, because you want to be orderly as you put it in. And it might be dark, and you might have to have some lights that you can turn on when you go in, stuff like that. So in that little space below there, look for your unique situation and for what you need for your space. There's some room there for you to fill in what thoughts you have about that. Step four, we're going to go through the basic food planning chart to determine the amount of food that you will need to store. And let's flip to that next chart. This is our calculator. Accounting never excited me very much, but it might be a lifesaver. As you look at this, here's how it reads. Okay, this is what they've done. They figured out how much of each of these categories certain people will need for a whole year. For example, let's just look at the male adult. They've calculated that he's going to need about 350 pounds of wheat for a year. And going on down there, honey, 60 pounds for a year. That's pretty good. That's probably going to be our favorite part. Grains, the average male adult is going to need about 155 pounds for a year. Dried beans, lentils, soybeans. Yep, we have to eat those too. 55 pounds for a year. Now, if you're going to break that down for a month, what do you have to do? Divide by 12. And I can read those numbers off for you if you want. If you want to fill them in, I didn't have time to do that before we printed these. And I'll just read them down if you want to write them in for the male, just for the male adult. And again, this is for a month's supply. Okay, wheat would be 29. Honey would be 5. Milk, 6.25. Again, these are pounds. Salt, 0.8 to 1.6. And these are, you know, rounding things off. Grains, 13. Dried beans, 4.6. Dried vegetables, 3.75. Potatoes, 5. Air and freeze-dried main course entrees, 0.5 to 0.9. Dried fruit, 7.1. MREs, 3.75. Gelatin, margarine, butter, 2.5. Cheese, peanut butter, 2.1. Olive oil, etc., 2.5. And then, of course, water, 365 divided by 12. But So these are multipliers. You can break it down according to, if you have children in the home, you can break it down to those needs as well. But if you want to just keep it simple, you know, this, for example, if I wanted to know how much wheat to store for three adults for a month, I need how much I need on the shelf. If I want a month's supply, I'd have to multiply 29 by 3. Does that make sense? And then you fill it out on the side on the right. So that's how you get to what your needs are. And one comment I want to make is, you know, when they talk about dried beans, lentils, soybeans, peas, pinto beans, etc., or a selection of dried vegetables, those could also be canned. They kind of lean towards the dried stuff because it lasts a lot longer, but that's where you would put your canned goods in. So that's what you're going to be using to decide how much you want on your shelf. Is that confusing or is that fairly clear? Okay. Step 6. Begin to systematically accumulate your provisions. Again, you want to determine the makeup of the items you're going to store. You know, what canned goods are you going to put up there? What freeze-dried? What vacuum-packed? What air-dried? And you want to choose foods that you eat yourself. You don't want to store things on the shelf that you wouldn't eat because you probably won't eat it even in an emergency situation. And you want to put stuff on the shelf that you're going to be drawing from over time and use in our normal life and then replenish it. Here's some ideas. Every time you go to the store, you can just purchase a few extra items, and when you come home, put those extra items on your shelf. And slowly you're going to build up your supply. Purchase items when they're on sale. Ann just got some stuff recently. Like, was it Ingles? Food Lion. She found a really good deal on some stuff that was on sale and it still had a long shelf life on it. So she got some of that and brought it home and we stored it up. You can go to places like Big Lots, Dollar General. We found some really, you know, we were just kind of doing some detective work this last weekend. Big Lots has some really good stuff on the shelf, especially canned meat. I was really surprised with that salmon, tuna, etc. And it had some really long shelf lives on. And then you can order these freeze-dried foods as you're able. There's the list at the back that you can use as a resource to accumulate some of these freeze-dried foods. And then, of course, again, as we said, be aware of the expiration dates as you purchase your items. You want to buy the things that have the longest shelf life remaining. Okay, step 7. Develop a simple, highlighted simple, inventory control system where you can stock your food, use your food, and then replenish it. You don't want something that takes long calculations, a big thing that you have to keep filling in the blanks as you use something off the shelf. You want something simple that I'd like to have something that I can just look on my shelf and see what I need to use and what needs to be replenished. I want something simple. And I'll show you something, what we're doing in just a minute. And here's the motto: you store what you eat what you store, and you use it or lose it. So again, you want to store the foods that you like, that your family likes, that your family eats. If nobody likes butter beans, you don't want to stock butter beans, stuff like that. And then once you get it on your shelf, you want to be sure that you use it over time. You don't want it to just sit up there and then expire. Because then when you need it, you know, later, you will expire. Okay, and then again, use it or lose it. Okay, here's what you do. Here's what we're doing anyway. We get these canned goods. We're doing canned goods right now. And write the expiration dates on your canned goods, obviously. And then systematically, you utilize the most outdated items. And then after you use them, you replenish them with new ones, with longer shelf life. And then again, make the system as simple as possible. So let me kind of show you. Paul can bring up the PowerPoint. Okay, this is, pretend like the shelf goes this way And then what we've done, we've dedicated a place on the shelf for, this is actually canned chicken. And this would be about a month's supply for one person. So we've got 8 cans of chicken there. And what, how we arrange them is, we make sure that we have two rows, okay? So that when I walk into the, and look at the shelf, I can just see my chicken and see what the condition is of those supply, the numbers of them. Anyway, we decided we want a month supply of chicken. And so we place the expiration dates on the cans. The oldest cans are on the left, with the, of course, the oldest one forward. And as you go back, you know, it's more, they're longer expiration dates. And then even over here, this is even longer expiration dates. So these are the ones that will expire the quickest. These are the ones that will last the quickest. And so we start using these things and we pull from the left column. Okay, I'll click it. So Ann went up there, she got, I guess we're gonna have potted chicken tonight. She took it down from the shelf. Okay, I can come through here next week and I look at the shelf. And I can see where our, you know, automatically see where our supply level is for our chicken. Okay, she goes, she needs chicken again, she pulls it again. Go ahead and click it, Paul. We had a bigger meal this time. And so we keep doing that. We're gonna get rid of this left aisle first. Okay, click it again, Paul, until it's empty. So what do I do? We've got rid of our oldest chicken. So now, and we have a space now. So what I do, I shift this, immediately I shift this to the left, okay? Sleight of hand. And then we know we need to go and replenish. And so we go to the store and we replenish this next, the most, you know, the longest lasting dates. So if you can see how that works for you. You don't have to have a list or anything. You just walk through your storage space and you can see what needs to be used and then when you need to replenish it. It makes it simple. It's a no-brainer.
I don't like to have to think about stuff. So that would be like a month's supply, right? And then if you went to a year, you could just multiply. You could actually stack them up a little bit and do the same thing. That's just how we're looking at it. Okay, step 8. You make a simple progress chart to chart your progress as you move forward with your plan. Okay, flip to the progress chart. So you can look at this, the X and the Y axis there. The numbers represent month's supply that you would want to have on shelf. For example, if I wanted to store 1 month supply, if that was all, my whole goal, then what I would do, once I had all my water stored for a month, I just put a check mark or a star in number 1, and I know that it's completed. And the same thing on the others. So as you build your supplies, once you reach the level that you've set for your goal, then you just put the star in there, and you know, and you can just look at that chart and know that area is covered. And the ones that don't have the stars, you know that's what you have to work on. Is that confusing? Does that make sense? Okay, so say I ultimately wanted to have 12 months supply on the shelf. If I had star within water, I had stars only up to number 9. I want to build it up a little bit. But once I hit the 12, then I can rest and just know that I just need to rotate it and use it. And the categories of stuff there is just kind of, it kind of correlates with what we had on that previous chart. And then there's, on the next page, there's places where you can enter in your own, you know, special stuff there. So again, this is a quick look and see, you know, where do we stand on our supplies? Does anybody have any questions on that? Is it confusing?
It's more valuable.
That's why you have to decide that for yourself. So you may just want 3 months. You may not have enough space to store for 3 months. So your goal may be for 1 month. You know, for how many people, you know, etc. So that you basically utilize this to tailor it for your needs. Make any sense? Is that okay? So, you know, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, we're all going to be different. Okay. So step 9, you rejoice because we made progress. We're actually going to have things on our shelf. And we may, you know, you may start off, let's get a week supply up there. And then after, you know, a short amount of time, once you've built that up, you may say, let's expand it to a month. You know, let's just have to multiply out. And each time you get those stars in those, in your progress chart, it just makes you feel, I've accomplished something. You know, it's a goal. You feel that much more secure. Now, go back to the last chart here, or the last, it's not a chart, it's sources for food storage. And we've got basically all the information you need to have to go and research this for yourself. And you can do it pretty quickly on the internet. But most of them are in Utah, not surprisingly. But the first category there are sources for food storage. Most of them deal with freeze-dried food, dehydrated foods, bulk-type foods and things like that, grains. And you can order them in different quantities, high or low. And you can start to fill in your shelf with some of these items. And then the next page, I was going to mention this Augustin Farms. On the second page, that's the brand that Sam's carries. And I think Anne was mentioned, they're a pretty good source for some of these things, as well as Costco, which we don't have a Costco here. But you can order through Sam's, but they have to deliver it to the store, and you have to pick it up. And you can find some pretty good deals on prices there. And then also there's some other companies. Again, Costco, Sam's, Emergency Essentials. And then I'm going to let you say something else about some of these before we close this off. Or after we close it off. Because I want to mention this. This other handout, again, is David Wilkerson's information that he gave out to his congregation. Again, all of them live in the city. They don't have a whole lot of space for storage. But this is something he laid out for them. And you'll see, like, on page, you can read through it, but on page 190, it talks about food storage, items that they would have to put on the shelf. And what these numbers are, it's what would represent about, for one person, about 2 months' supply. So that's another little way you can look at what needs would be. Again, these are one person for 60 days, approximately. So again, that's just for reference at home for you. You want to make a mention about these food sources?
Several things, and I'm try to do it quickly. One of the things I want to just say is up front, don't get discouraged. You're hearing so much stuff, we're saying a lot of stuff, and most of y'all have been reading on your own and doing things maybe for years, but it can become overwhelming and very discouraging. It can just like hit you like a wave. It can be financially challenging, it can just be emotionally draining, it can be physically challenging.
just looking at your space that you have to configure. Everybody's living in a different way. But one of the things, when David Wilkerson did this for his congregation, I think it was 98, 99, right there. Of course, that was in, they were thinking they were storing up and helping people prior to the potential for YGK. But really, what they were storing for, they did not realize it was 9/11. And they pulled on that when they could not get out of their high-rise 42 and 62 story high apartments for days. And what they had, they were able to utilize. But they didn't have a basement to store it in, and they didn't have an attic to store it in, so they had to get creative. And obviously, there's limitations. So my encouragement is the tortoise and the hare. And this is what I tell myself. The race is never to the hare. He never wins. That's in the fable, but I think it's in life, too. The hare, I mean the tortoise, did I say the hare or the tortoise? The hare never wins. It's the tortoise. It's the, he's walking along, he buys a can of food, he puts it on the shelf, and the rabbit's running around doing all this stuff, and you know, planting carrots and eating carrots and running up and down and telling everybody, gotta get done, gotta get done, and the tortoise is just going along, buying a can, sticking it on the shelf, and he finishes the race. You know, and I think about that in regard to this, is that it's the consistency, it's the doing of something, you know, maybe every day or maybe every week. Not in the sense that you would necessarily buy something every day, but you do something. I woke up this week, Christine and I had a conversation right after I woke up with this. We were talking about it, and I said, Christine, it was so funny. I woke up, and I just, as I was waking up, I just had this voice in my head saying, just do something. Just do something. And for every one of us, it's going to be different. Remember when we talked about what Terry Bennett had admonished us in January when we were in Kansas City and heard him speak? He said, you have to ask God what to do and how many to do it for and where to put it and all of that. It's individual. We're all challenged in different ways. Our families are all different. So some of our family members have medical things that are going to challenge them. Others of us have other issues. And so, that's just a little exhortation to not become overwhelmed, but just remember the tortoise and the hare. And you're doing it and you're thinking, oh, I'm never going to get, you know, it's, what's the point? And then the organization of it can be overwhelming too. But if you do it methodically, it won't be overwhelming. And that was one of the things I was going to say. It takes more time on the front end. This is true about anything, I think. Whether you're organizing your finances and your book that takes care of the finances, if you get the template right, the rest of it sort of, it's intensive on the front end, but then it's easy to maintain. So that's the other thing that's encouraging there, is that, you know, we don't know the whole deal, but just do something. Because I know that the people in the high-rises in New York City on 9/11 were glad they had done something. And David Wilkerson said, we're not moving out of fear. We're moving on the word of the Lord. And so that's the other thing, is that we just move and we trust God in it. And if the day comes and my food gets 6 months out from expiration, I'll find a food pantry and give it to them. You know, and then I'll replenish. It's not that big a deal. I mean, we have insurance plans for everything, but we don't have this mindset in America much anymore. But my grandmother had it. My grandmother had it. And the truth is, probably somebody in all of our lives, as a relative, somebody had it. They had that mindset that they were more self-reliant. And they realized that quickly a job could be lost, your health could be challenged. We don't know. Natural disaster could come. We don't know. But we want to be wise. And so that's kind of the thought. And then in the approach to food, one of the things that you think about is a combination of the types of food. Like, it's really good to have different types of food. To have some canned food. It would be good to have some a measure of dehydrated. Of course, with dehydrated food, you have to have water supply filtered to reconstitute that. It's a little more intensive to deal with. And to have some freeze-dried, which basically you boil water, you put it in there, and you seal it up, and you set it on the counter for 20 minutes, and you come back and you eat it, and it's really good. And in a time when there's no electricity, or I'm just thinking of what we've seen in Birmingham and Tuscaloosa, what we've seen in Japan, an ongoing disaster, they've been very glad to have emergency foods. No, it's not exactly everything we would eat every day, but it's food and it's keeping people alive, and it's keeping them healthy. If you plan that right. So don't think, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. Are we going to build a bunker? Don't think like that. It's the tortoise and the hare. Do something. And just do something. And the more you do, the more you'll see that it's coming together. And you'll have something on your shelf to be able to offer to others, and offer to even family members or fellow church members. But I'm thinking of neighborhoods. We're all spread out everywhere. And your average American's not thinking like this. They may not be thinking at all like this. And so, I think it's wisdom. And so the tortoise and the hare, just do something. But the combination of foods is wise, because you can utilize them in different ways. Of course, you can just open a can. You can eat cold canned food. You don't have to cook it. It's cooked, you know, and we stay alive with that. And then you have your dehydrated foods, and that, as long as you can get water on it, you can use it, you know. And then your bulk is good as well. So you can buy a 10-pound bag of rice for very little, and you can buy a 10-pound bag of beans. And there's ways, we'll talk about ways to put those. The main thing is, if you're storing them not in your kitchen, you know, you want to keep them secure so that they're not getting bugs in there, or rodents or something, like if it's in a garage or whatever. And there's ways to do that. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But bulk, we don't have to buy. Bulk doesn't mean 100 pounds. It might mean 10 pounds. You know, whatever that means. And ask the Lord. I mean, we're training our spirits to say, God, what are you saying? And He'll tell us. He'll talk to us, because He knows where every one of us are going to be placed in the midst of how He's going to execute all the good things that He's going to do. And His judgments are going to be righteous and true. And we're going to call them that when they come, because they're going to be for our good and the good of everybody. But the sources of food, I'll go real quick through this. But I think just a few things might be helpful if you've not been on any of these websites or limited. Walton Feed, one of the things that I did is I didn't give you any websites that I have not personally either bought from or know for sure that they, in fact, I think I bought from all of them but one. And the one that I have not bought from, I know is a reliable source. Most of them have been around a minimum of 15 years, but a lot have been around closer to 30 years. They've been in business for many, many years. Walton Feed is one of those. They're a supplier. They send, they're the source that goes to a lot of these other places that are on here. Like, for instance, Nitro Pack on the very back. They're not a supplier. They're a guy, they're a business that you can go to, and they can get you the stuff, but Walton Feed is a source. It's a supplier. They're a supplier, and you can go online, and they've got a massive catalog that you can just download. You can read it online, but it's a lot of pages. It was easier for me just to print it off, and you can see there. They also have not just food stuff, but they do have some emergency supplies. So what this does is it gives you the ability to figure out what you need for your family. You know, do you need just canned goods? That may be all some of us need. If you ask the Lord, or he may say, store up some, some wheat and some oil or whatever. But if you've got several different types of sources here, so that's what I'm saying. The next one is Survival Acres, and they have been so overwhelmed at this website, this business, that they don't even, they're not even answering their phones at all, but they're very good to communicate by email, and they do answer you right away. So, but the one thing about doing that is if you've got a filter on your email, just remember that they may answer you, and it would show up in your trash or your spam, and you might be wondering why they're not talking to you. And they are, it's just being filtered out. And then another bulk supplier is USA Emergency. Again, these are suppliers of big amounts of things, but they also sell in smaller amounts. Ready Reserve Foods, the same thing. They deal more in the dehydrated foods. And then Honeyville Grain, another supplier of bulk. And the Augustin Farms, they have right on the front of their webpage a whole section on gluten-free if you're somebody that requires gluten-free foods. They have a whole area for that. And some of these other suppliers may as well, but I didn't see it. Like, it's not as prominent on their sites as this one for Augustin. And they are a supplier that supplies to Sam's. And the way that works at Sam's is you can, I think that you have to be a member of Sam's to order, I think. You order on there, and then they send it to the store, and you just go there and pick it up. And you can order large amounts or small amounts of dehydrated food from them. And Costco, the closest stores to us, Greenville, Spartanburg, and of course Nashville. Costco is an unbelievable store for all kinds of things. But I told you how to search on there. They're like Sam's in that you have to be a member. But if you are, you'd have, the most economical way would be go to the store, you know, make a little trip over to Greenville or 2.5 hours over there and pick up whatever. But remember, you have to be a member there to order. And Emergency Essentials, they have been around for years. I've done a lot of things with them over time. They're very good. NitroPack the same way. Of course, the prices on these are going to be comparable, so you just have to sort of search it out and, you know, go back and forth. And they run specials and stuff, just like a grocery store. So you can go in there and see. But one of the things I wanted to point out to you is that these companies that are now supplying the grab-and-go food buckets, have y'all seen those? They're buckets. Kind of like the 6-gallon white food storage buckets for the bulk foods, but they're produced, and the two of the companies that do it, Food for Health International and Wise Foods. And I first heard about these buckets some years ago, but I never really searched them out. But what piqued my interest was right after the tsunami and the stuff hit in Japan, I was listening to Rick Joyner, which most of y'all have heard him do those updates on the website, and I was listening to that, and he was referring to Jim Baker. Remember Jim Baker back in the day? And Jim Baker is out in Missouri.
Branson.
And he, for years, since he got out of prison, he felt like he wanted to help people in all kinds of underprivileged ways, people that were struggling in this country, people that certainly were struggling in other countries that didn't have ability to do a lot of things. And so he searched out for an emergency supply, this company called Food for Health International. And he started buying, I mean, thousands of these buckets. And you can buy them where they have 275 meals down in them, and they're individually packaged meals. And you just need water to you know, reconstitute the food. It's good food. And breakfast, lunch, you know, dinner, and 275 meals down in that one bucket, and it's sealed up. And you just put it away, and the advantage of that is that you have balanced meals, it doesn't require much, and it's a go thing. It's not just if you had to move your location, you just pick the bucket up like you would a small bag or something, stick it in your vehicle, and you go with it. So I started. That the food for health will last 20 plus, And the Wise Foods, 25 plus years. And they're another supplier of buckets. And you can search Food for Health International. Both of these have their own websites, but you can search for those. And other companies sometimes run specials on them, so you might even find them less expensive than the original website would offer them. But the one thing I want to alert you to for these Food for Health International ones, you want to look at go to their website and look at it really good, so that you're not duped by lookalikes. If you're going to order through Amazon and that kind of thing, you want to be sure that you're getting this, because there are scoundrels out there that are imitating, you know, things. And what you would do is you would be paying for something that nutritionally you wouldn't be sound. That's the, you know. But Food for Health International, 275 meals. And what caught my eye on that report was one of Rick Joyner's friends had gone to Japan. I think this was about the third week after the tsunami, after the earthquake hit, up in the most devastating, he was a medical background, went up into the, to see what they could do to help. And there were lots of people, lots of survivors, and they were hugging these buckets. They've got a red top. They're very distinct. When you see one, you'll go, that's that bucket. They were hugging these buckets of food. It's what was keeping them alive. And I thought, unbelievable. So I started searching for it, and I found it. And, you know, that is just amazing. That's amazing to me. I mean, what they had, if they did have food storage in their house, it was washed away. But the bucket, it's you know, it was with them, and they could take it to the shelter, or they could take it down to the next town, and they had food, 275 meals, you know? I mean, and it's, so that 275 meals on their website, I think is $159, but Costco carries this bucket. This is the difference. Costco sells it for $99.99. And it is the same. It's exactly the same. So that's the advantage of, you know, of having a Costco, or somebody taking orders and going to Costco and coming back or whatever, but it's the same bucket. And so with Tim's situation in Kansas City, he's got limited space. He's living in a house with three other guys, sometimes five other guys. You never know. And so he said, you know, plus he mobile. You need to be mobile. So we just purchased one of those buckets for him. And he's just got it tucked away, you know. And in 20 years, if he hadn't eaten it, we'll donate it to the food pantry somewhere. It's not going to be thrown away if you keep rotating your goods, and it's just a donation to food pantries.
Is but the people in 3 months worth? Is it about
275 meals? If you eat two a day or three a day, I don't know. I didn't figure
if
it out.
If you did 3 a day, that'd be 3 months.
Yeah, 2.5 to 3 months.
Are they the same meals?
They're like the morning has a couple of variations. And it's pretty basic, but there is some variation.
I mean, it's
not 265. No, it's not 265 oatmeals. No, it's you have breakfast meals, you have lunch meals, and then you have dinner meals. And again, in a stressful situation, calories are important as well as the nutrition, because you're depleted. You know, you're out of your routine. You're doing things different. And so the other thing I want to just call to your attention, we'll talk about it later because I don't want to delay anymore, get to the prayer meeting, but there's these things called high-calorie emergency food bars. They're not the MREs. MREs are military, or they use them in the military, food ready to eat. They're little pouches you can just open up and eat. These food bars come, and they're square, and there's 9 individual squares in them, and you can buy them where the whole thing, it would supply you up to 1,200 calories, or you can buy them where they supply 2,400 calories, or you can buy them where they supply 3,600 calories. I've never eaten one, but I have friends that have, and they said they're really good. They're like lemon, they're almost like lemon shortbread, and they're high calorie. They're not necessarily high sugar. That's not what I'm saying. They're high calorie. They're meant for stress. They're meant for these kinds of situations. And the 3,600 or I just scanned it on the internet, you can find it anywhere from like probably $8.95 to, I mean, I don't know, they'll, you know, there's all this going on. But I would say $7.95 to $9 would be a fair price. The problem with ordering those, they're heavy. They're weighty. So.
2 year shelf life. It's only a 2 year
shelf life. Five year shelf life. And that's the other thing. If you order them, you want to call the place and say, I want to order, you know, 4 or 5 of these or whatever. What is the shelf life on the goods? Because you don't want them sending you something that's going to expire in a year and you've already paid for it. So, but the shipping on that's more expensive just because of the weight, unless you have a different avenue through that. It's called Mainstay. It's just Mainstay, and there's another one. It starts with a D. I want to say Daytrek, D-A-T-R-E-K maybe, something like that. But those are really good, and those would be something you could live on. I mean, you could, but not for very long because the nutrition's not there. It's just calories. It's not sugar, but it's calorie if you need that. Dehydrate2store.com. Whatever. Yeah. Dehydrate2store.
It's a Mormon lady and it's big. Also on the Walton theme, they get a greatly reduced price. Not price, it's shipping that you save on. If you go together and happen to have enough, that would fill an empty chair.
Right. So that'd be a ton of food.
Right. But I mean, our homeschool group did it.
Yeah.
It didn't take much.
Right.
Yeah.
So there are ways out there. And these websites will give you there's varied ways. And a lot of these places offer food storage for 1 month for one person, 3 months for one person. You know, you just have to sort of search it out. And see what, and you'll know what you are able to do, and you want to do what you want to, what the Lord says to do. But it gives you options, Matt. Skip was talking about that. This is, so it's just easier because of the sources that we use. They give you all that for the year because most of these are Mormon sources and they do it all the time. And all these people have unbelievable food storage. And so it's just easier to refer to that. And some people might store for a year, but I mean, if you're not storing for a year, you can use those year numbers and you can break it down to the month and you can break it down to even to the week if you needed to, for just a rough estimate of the amount of the kinds of food that you would need to put up on your shelf. And I mean, there's no way to know. We look at Japan is a pronounced crisis, depending on where you're located in the crisis zone. The further north you go, the more pronounced crisis there was. But even now, a lot of those people have been displaced. There are other places. It's not like they now are up there and nobody can get to them. It's not like you're on top of Mount Everest and nobody can get to you. But initially it was days, and in some cases it was weeks, and their food storage, you know, if they had some of that, it really did help them. And there's no way to know how much food there again, we have to just ask, I think we just have to ask the Lord, you know, how much food do we store?
Prudence.
What kind of food do we store?
Prudence.
Yeah, just prudence. We're not saying at all build a bunker and, you know, live in it. We're just saying it's prudent to have something. In light of what we're looking at in the shaking of nations and the economies alone, what would happen if Greece defaults? Everything starts going around the world, economically is what I'm talking about, and just you were in a bank holiday for 30 days and you just couldn't go to your bank and just pull out money. They just shut the banks down for 30 days so everything just leveled out. I'm just picking a random number.
If there's no Greece, there would be no French fries.
No. That's a joke. If there's no Greece, there would be no French fries. Somebody hit him. Yeah.
I mean, God is talking to us. He's telling us to
take
your prayer.
Yeah.
So, I just appreciate
y'all putting this together.
Yeah.
And it's not comprehensive. I mean, you may go and find all kinds of better sources and, you know, but the ones I've given you are trusted sources, you know, but you have to kind of compare them and sort of see. I mean, a doomsday scenario, I guess if you're at ground zero on 9/11, it was doomsday scenario. You know what I mean? I mean, I know exactly what you're asking, and I don't know the answer, and I don't think any of us do. We don't know how long we will need to use or have stored. But again, I don't feel afraid. I just know the Lord's, He's speaking to every one of us.
There was even like a little like paragraph article in the Wall Street Journal asking whether the U.S. was prepared for like a natural disaster with the nuclear plants and stuff.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing. Last night, I was up late, Tim came in Kansas City, got on his computer and sent me a little link and said, hey, have you heard about the nuclear power plant and outside of Omaha? No, what is going on? I said, is this a joke? It's like, no. He sends me the link. It is sitting in the middle of the flooded Missouri River. Now, they shut it down, and in the midst of all that had a fire in the nuclear power plant. The fire was in the cooling section. It keeps the nuclear core cooled.
Don't worry,
the government says we're safe. Yeah, that's right now, that's going on. That's going on right now. I mean, we're talking about Omaha, Nebraska. And, you know, as we're talking about these scenarios, you're thinking, oh my goodness. And I said, ah. And then another one just this week, and Paul and I were on going back and forth because I know he's working with Eastman. He dealt with the chemicals. And I said, Paul, look at this. In Iowa, a little town, 300 people in this little town, Iowa, an engineer went by on the train and looked at the hand signal and said, something's weird. Went on down and saw there was something wrong with the tracks. The train slowly went by and went on with no problem. He goes and he alerts and says, somebody needs to get down there. And they go and they see the signal switch thing had been totally tampered with and broken off, covered up. It was like a real big bad botched job of whatever they tried to do. And the tracks had been altered, and coming down the track was what?
Was 300 rail cars of ethanol with 30,000 gallons per rail car.
300 rail cars of ethanol with 30,000 gallons per car headed down the track. And what we know is Al-Qaeda, when they went over and got Osama, is that right? Yes, Osama. When they got him, they found the threat to railroads, to rail lines. I mean, that's been all over the news. It's been out there for weeks and weeks, but this just happened. And I said to him, what in the world would have happened? And he said, well, it's not an explosive, but it's a flammable. And so we would have just had this huge, you know, who knows? But, you know, scenario after scenario, you don't know. You don't know. And I'm not, that's not even the reason. The reason is, God, for me, the reason is God is saying, prepare. That's the reason. And so, and we talk to him, and he'll tell us, you know, and some people may be preparing for weeks or months or more. I know people in Kansas City that are. God's spoken to them for years, and I know one man that's preparing food. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's storing in huge warehouses. And, I mean, it's amazing what God's allowing him to do. But that won't be every person, you know. And so we're all in different areas of the country, but something's afoot. When God is about to shift us into another age, things are going to shake everywhere. And so we just ask him what to do. And somebody said, oh, you're one of those people. Yeah, I am. That's just what it boils down to. Yeah, I am.